Hi, you're listening to the Connect Your Health to Life coaching podcast. I'm your host, Seth Lusk. I'm a holistic health and mindset coach, and in this podcast, we're going to be talking about living a life filled with health, fulfillment, love, and authenticity. If you're anything like me or the clients that I work with, then you might be struggling with body image or self-image issues, and maybe trying to figure out why you can't take the ideas that you have for living healthy and turn them into lifelong action. So join me as we dive in deep on topics of health from the perspective of mindset, self-awareness, self-love, and of course, how we can take authentic self-action towards living that healthy life that we're dreaming of. Along the way, I'm going to bust through some of the fog, illusions, and outright myths that we've all been taught to believe about living a healthy life. I'm so excited to have you with me on this journey. Are you ready to find out how you can start living your healthiest life once and for all? Then let's get started, shall we? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. If you are new to the Connect Your Health to Life coaching podcast, then welcome for your first time. We're going to have another interesting episode today because I think all of my episodes are interesting. But what I want to start off with saying, my friends, is that life is fascinating. And this idea of manifesting and attracting and energies is something that I truly believe in. And so I have been putting out a call to the universe that I needed more people surrounding me in my life that understood what I'm here for, and that also understood the journey of being an entrepreneur, what it's like to be a coach, and who could really, you know, provide some insight and feedback into my circle of friends that would provide me with the support that I was looking for in this journey that I'm on right now. So, guys, I'm new to this podcasting thing. I'm growing and learning how to make these podcasts as you all are listening to them with me. So I really appreciate everyone who tunes in and grows with me on this podcast as I'm learning my groove, learning my speed, my rhythm with making this podcast. And I have noticed in the last couple of weeks this influx of people being drawn to me, sort of like I put out a light and they were like, I recognize that light. Let's go to it and see what's there. And it's just been people that are on a mission very similar to mine. We're on very parallel paths in life. And it's been amazing to me meeting these people and getting to talk to them and getting to know them and the similarities and differences in our journeys and what we're here to bring to the world and what we teach, how we teach it. And just this past week, I made a new friend who, by the way, is going to be on the podcast with me here very soon. Lucy, I'm calling you out. We talked about this, so you're going to join me. And I recently met Lucy. She is a coach here in Switzerland. And our messages of what we coach with are very aligned. And she works with her partner, Vanessa, who they together sort of do the same kind of thing that I'm doing here, providing the mindset and self-image coaching as well as the nutrition and the, you know, the actual physical health habits that we can have, lifestyle habits in our life. And so they kind of do this. They found me online and reached out, and we had a conversation, and just immediately it was like there was this click. We were like, yes, we were supposed to meet. We were supposed to talk to each other. We're here for the same thing. Let's support each other. And in the spirit of that, I asked her to have a listen to my podcast, because I have a lot of really good friends, but they're on different paths than me as far as where they're going in life. On the entrepreneur route is not what the one that they're on right now. The coaching route is not one that they're on, or even I'm not even sure if they'd be interested in being a coach. But they're still amazing friends to me. And what I noticed was that I was asking them for input that they don't have the ability to give me, not because there's something wrong with them, but because you know, they're on a different path. So I'm asking them for input from an entrepreneurial and coach perspective, and they're not a coach or an entrepreneur. So I asked my new friend Lucy, could you take a listen to my podcast? I would just really love another set of ears on it that could give me some insight and some constructive feedback on this. And I want to say, the feedback that I received was amazing, and it's going to change how we're going to approach this podcast today. So I spoke last week on a topic that was very deep, very near and dear to my heart, and I'm not going to apologize for talking about it. And I mentioned that I was going to turn it into a three-part series. And I also mentioned that because I knew I was new to podcasting, that that might change, and it's changed. So we are going to talk about a bit of what I mentioned last week that we would talk about this week. But my friend Lucy invited me to recognize. She was like, Seth, you have an amazing voice. You're great at what you're doing here. You have so much insight and so much amazing stuff to share. But you have to remember sometimes, your audience, they don't know. And what she meant by this was that, guys, I spend so much time on a daily basis with these models, these concepts that I'm talking to you guys about. I really dig in deep to these things with myself, with my clients, and I am here to provide value and provide support and provide shifts in my clients' lives. And I can do that very well on a one-to-one basis because I can really, one of my superpowers is compassionate insight. And what I mean by that is I can really get in tune with how a person is talking, what they're feeling, what they mean by what they're saying on a very energetic level. And I can sort of get in there and show them exactly what they mean by what they're saying, even if sometimes they don't see it. And this works very well on a one-to-one coaching basis. But in a podcast, what this translates to is that, guys, I dive super, super deep because I'm very passionate about what I'm talking to you all about. And it doesn't translate so well over a podcast to a large number of people. So, I love you all. And because of that, we're going to slow down a bit. And I'm going to recognize my desire to provide you all with so much information and value because I want to help as much as I can. And I realize, and I've said it so many times, I can't teach you all this in a podcast. What I can do is open you up to the ideas of it so that you can then reach out when you're ready to learn to grow in this area. But you're never going to notice that you're ready to learn and grow in this area if I'm talking way over your head about things that I have spent so much time looking into and connecting things that are so deep in these concepts. And a lot of the people that I'm speaking to right now on this podcast haven't even looked at these concepts. And I'm acting as if they know about them and I'm connecting them for them. So I'm going to slow down for you guys a bit, not because I think you're stupid, not because I think you're unable to grasp what it is that I'm saying, but because I want you all to really be open to receiving everything that I'm saying. And if I shove too much information into this funnel here, I don't want you to become overwhelmed, and I don't want you to become confused. I want to open up curiosity. So, this week, we are going to talk about this concept of finding happiness before you choose whether to stay or go. And if you remember last week, what I talked about was this concept of how using the model of right versus wrong, good versus bad, doesn't serve us in growth. And my plan was to tie this concept that we're going to talk about today, I wanted to tie it into this same concept because it does tie in. But what I recognized after speaking with my friend Lucy, and thank you again, Lucy, so much for offering me this constructive feedback and helping me to see that, yes, I am passionate, but I can slow down. So what I want to say is that the way that this concept today ties into the concept of right versus wrong, good versus bad, goes quite deep. So we're going to leave that out today. And what we're going to talk about today is simply why it is that it's so important to find happiness before we make a decision of whether or not to stay or go in a circumstance. And I'm going to clarify what I mean by this in a minute. But before I do, I want to reintroduce a concept that I introduced, I think, a couple of times already, but I know I talked about it last week. So we're going to talk about it again here because I want to make sure that you all are very clear on this concept. Because if you're not, the rest of this is going to seem very abstract, vague, confusing, maybe even frustrating. And I don't want that. So we're going to talk about this concept that I introduced last week that I call the thought model. And again, I didn't create this. This is something that a lot of coaches that I know use and use it in different ways. They call it different things. The person that I learned this concept from and then turned it into my own way of teaching it was an amazing coach named Brooke Castillo, and I love her teaching. And she also calls it the thought model. And I've heard people call it other things, but I really like this idea of the thought model, so I keep that title because I think it describes beautifully what this is. And here is the thought model. The thought model is this concept that there are circumstances in our life, you know, like a job, where we live, the people around us, the relationships that we are in, the weather. These are circumstances. These circumstances are not something that we have control over. We would like to believe that we have control over them, and we create a lot of drama for ourselves trying to control these situations instead of recognizing that the control there, even if we think we've achieved it, is an illusion, and eventually that illusion breaks and we become frustrated again. So my friends, there are circumstances. We cannot control them. These circumstances, this is the second part to this model, are entirely neutral. Stick with me here. Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated. Stick with me. I'm going to explain what I mean here. These circumstances are just things that happen. They happen. They don't happen to us or against us or even for us. They just happen. Then we have a thought about them. The moment that we have a thought about them is when that circumstance either becomes what we might label as good or bad, right or wrong, for us or against us, or however we want to label it. But the truth of the matter is, the circumstance is not any of those things. These things that we label the circumstance as come from our thinking, which come from our beliefs. And we'll talk another time about where these beliefs come from, because that's another huge thing to dive into. But this is where our thinking comes from, is the beliefs that we have created for ourselves about how the world works. And we create those at a very early age in our life. And a lot of them start to become very concrete by the time we're 25, unless we intentionally go about recognizing them and deciding whether or not we want to change them. Okay, so we have a circumstance. That circumstance is entirely neutral. Then we have a thought about it that comes from our beliefs. Once we have a thought about it, we start to have feelings. The feeling might be happiness. The feeling might be sadness. The feeling might be anger. The feeling might be frustration, annoyance. It could be any number of feelings. But the reality is, the feeling happens because we have a thought that came from a belief about the circumstance. Okay, so what I want you to recognize, the importance of seeing that, is that the circumstance does not make you feel anything. And that is so important to recognize, because this is the very base of the illusion of victimhood that we tend to fall into as the human species in our lives today, is that circumstances or other people make us feel things. And by doing that, we become a victim of circumstance and other people, versus owning the fact that actually the feeling that I am having comes from a thought that I created that came from a belief that I chose. And I am placing all of this on this neutral circumstance over here, and then therefore creating this ingredient mixture that creates my feeling that I am having right now. So therefore, I create my own feelings. And I know a lot of people want to slip into this feeling of guilt or shame when they start to recognize that. And so what I want to offer is you don't have to do that. And what I mean by guilt and shame is something like this. Oh, I'm so stupid that I have this thought about this. Or maybe the idea of, no, this is just how it is. And I'm not wrong here. And it's the desire to resist the guilt or shame of thinking that in order to recognize this, you have to make yourself wrong for not seeing this before. And what I want to offer is, most people are not taught to look at this way. So do not feel like you have to feel guilty, wrong, or shameful about the fact that you have been living your life in a state of victimhood. I know a lot of people associate this idea of victimhood with, oh, that makes you weak, that makes you dramatic, that makes you, you know, people think that if you're a victim, that there's something wrong with you. And what I want to offer is that about 99% of the people on this planet, closer to 100%, are all living in victimhood in a majority of their life, if not all of it. So you're not weird, you're not broken, you're not dramatic, you're not wrong if you're living in a state of victimhood. This is how we're taught to live, by our societal views, by how our social constructs work. They teach us to become a victim of our circumstances. So when I tell you this, that until you recognize this, you are living in a state of victimhood, I don't want you to slip into resistance of that idea because you might think that you need to feel wrong or guilty or bad for not having recognized this. You don't have to feel any of those things. You were never shown this before, so right now we're opening ourselves up to a new idea. We're approaching this with curiosity, okay? So, why is this important? So here's the thing. We know now, or I'm assuming you know now, or you're trying to open yourself up to the idea of this now. Circumstances are entirely neutral. You come to them with your beliefs and therefore have a thought about them, and then you create your feelings. From those feelings, that's where you will take your action. So let's think about this. If my feeling is anger, and I don't recognize where that anger comes from, and the only thing that I know how to do is to react to that emotion, what actions do you think I'm going to take from anger? And this is why we resist anger, because the actions we take from it tend to be something that later on we're like, wait, I don't actually want to do that in my life. So why did I do that? And we think it's because we experience anger, and anger is wrong, so we shouldn't experience anger, so resist anger, which means we have to resist everything around us that makes us feel anger, right? So once we get into this model that I'm teaching you right now, we can recognize, hold on, the circumstance never made me feel angry. My beliefs that created my thoughts about this circumstance are causing the anger right now. And I have power to choose my thoughts, my beliefs, and therefore my emotions. So if I'm experiencing anger right now, I also have the option to not experience anger in this moment and choose, or experience the anger in this moment, but also choose another emotion to respond from. And the reason this is important is because the actions that we take also create the results in our life that we are currently experiencing and then putting back through that model. Okay? So, by simply recognizing this, we take all of our power back in being able to use intention to create the results that we are creating in our life. And what I want to offer here before we go any further is that I do not mean that we should never experience certain emotions. The goal of this, because I know with a lot of people, they're like, oh, so if anger causes this and I don't want to act this way, then I just get rid of anger. I stop experiencing anger. That is not the goal, okay? The goal is not that. The goal is not to be happy all of the time. There are some circumstances that we want to feel sadness about, that we want to feel anger about. And By owning this model, we get to choose and see our power in creating those emotions there, and get to say, I want to feel this emotion right now. But at the same time, because we recognize that we want to feel that emotion right now, we also recognize that that doesn't mean I have to react to that emotion, and therefore these don't need to be the actions that I take, and those are the results that I create. I can choose instead a response, responsibility, this is where emotional responsibility comes from, that does serve me in creating the results that I want in life. And in order to do so, I can learn to cultivate the emotions right now that I can respond from in this moment, even while I am experiencing this emotion over here that I also want to experience. And that's very deep. So I'm not expecting you to be there yet, but I just wanted to open you up to that idea that this is the path that we're going down here. This is where we are trying to head, is to that space where we are able to, and not even able to, willing to, and choose to experience every emotion. But because we have become emotionally responsible, we also are able to choose our responses by cultivating the emotions we want to respond to, and then therefore taking the actions that we want to take to create the results we want to create in our life. Okay, so this is why this model is the very base of what I teach, why I'm explaining it now, and why it is so powerful and important to understand. And I know a lot of questions and resistance are going to come up here. And my friends, what I want to offer is if you have questions and resistance, it's not a sign to walk away and turn away. It's a sign there's something there that you want to learn. So please reach out. I'm here to help you dive into this and open up to this idea and really cultivate your power here. So the topic of today's podcast is supposed to be about finding happiness before you choose to stay or go. Now, how does this apply to this model that I just spent 20 minutes introducing you to? And why was it so important for me to explain that? And I'm going to get to that here. So, again, we have circumstances in our lives. That could be a relationship with a friend, a spouse, our job, where we live. All right, so we're in a circumstance. Today, I'm going to use the example of a job, because I know a lot of people right now are either in between jobs, in a job that they don't want to be in anymore, transitioning out of a job, transitioning into a new job. So this topic is very relevant for a lot of people. And we're going to use the example of a job, but I want you to understand that this also applies to relationships with friends and spouses. And maybe I'll do another podcast on how this applies to relationships because it goes quite deep. But I think we can approach it on more of an understandable, approachable level if we look at it from a job perspective. So that's how I'm going to show it to you here. So what I hear a lot of people doing is being in a job and they don't feel happy. They feel sadness. They feel anger. They feel frustrated, resentful. They feel unfulfilled. And so they are thinking, I need to quit this job because I want to feel XYZ, okay? And right now in this job, what I'm feeling is ABC. Why is this problematic? In this situation, if you jump straight from, I'm in this job and I'm feeling XYZ, but I want to feel ABC. So the solution is I need to quit my job so that I can feel ABC. This becomes problematic because you have just given in to the victim mentality of the fact that your circumstance, which in this case is your job, is creating your current emotional experience. And I know. Some people are going to be like, oh, but you don't understand my boss, or you don't understand my coworker. So let me give you some real life application here of how this might look in your job. Say you have a boss that shows up every day, and they storm in through the door, and they immediately just start stomping their feet, throwing stuff on the ground, slamming the door shut. They scream at their secretary. They might even look at you and be like, you know, get to work. Or, you know, they can do, your boss could choose a number of behaviors as they come into work that you could possibly have a thought about that means something like, my boss is mean, my boss is aggressive, I am in danger, my boss doesn't appreciate me, this is a working environment that makes me feel unhappy. You could be having so many different thoughts. And what I want you to recognize in that moment is, again, your thoughts are creating the feelings you are currently having. Okay. So, and I know you're going to be like, no. He throws things. She does this. And okay, so it's not that I am telling you that you are not allowed to believe certain things about a behavior. You can believe whatever you want about your boss's behavior. But recognize, your boss's behavior does not make you feel anything. Your thoughts about your boss's behavior are what create your current feelings about your boss's behavior and the feelings you are currently experiencing. Now, why this is so important is because more than likely, your thoughts about your boss's behavior might be cultivating the feelings you are feeling right now that you are thinking mean you need to leave your job. And this is important to recognize. Okay? Because, again, in this circumstance, what you are doing is giving your power away to your boss's behavior and how it is making you feel certain things, and that, therefore, your boss and their behavior needs to change in order for you to feel what it is that you want to feel. And how this becomes problematic is because if in this situation you decide, I'm unhappy because my boss does this, and because my such and such in my work environments, my coworker does this, if you decide in that moment, so the solution is to leave my job. So you leave your job, you go look for a new one. So the goal was when you left the other job that you wanted to feel ABC. And you still think that your boss or your coworker or whatever it was in the old work environment was what made you feel XYZ, and you want to feel ABC. Well, then you're going to search for other jobs thinking that you need to find just the right environment, just the right boss, just the right coworkers to create feelings A, B, and C. And you might think you find it. But then you start working there and you start uncovering a little bit more about these people. You start uncovering more about their human experience, how they behave. And because of the fact that you still haven't recognized that you create your feelings, you find yourself having the same thoughts about your new boss's behavior. Maybe they don't slam doors, but maybe they huff. Maybe they get short with you. Maybe they get a little bit snappy when they're tired and irritated. And so you start to believe this behavior means I'm a bad worker, or my boss is aggressive, my boss is mean, and that means I'm going to feel unhappy again. So here we go again. I'm back in a situation where my work is making me feel XYZ and I want to feel ABC. Okay, the reason why is because you left the other job still thinking that the job was creating the feelings of XYZ instead of owning the fact that what is making you feel XYZ is your thoughts about these specific behaviors that either your boss, your coworkers are exhibiting, or whatever it might be in your work environment that you haven't learned what the thoughts are that you're having about these behaviors that you're making mean something painful or fearful for you. So, if that is the model you keep working from, then your entire professional career will be spent manipulating other people's behaviors and work environments to try and create the feelings that you want to feel. Can you see how this might become ultra stressful, a huge waste of your time and energy, and you won't be productive at work because you're going to be spending your time at work trying to manipulate the environment around you so you can feel what you want to feel to do the work that you want to do? This is such a massive waste of energy, and we're giving away our power to something that we don't actually have power over, which is other people's behavior and the circumstances. Because the reality is, no matter how you show up, no matter what you do, no matter what you say to these people, how you act around them, they are still another human being that has sovereignty in their life, and they get to choose what they will think about what you are doing and saying, and how, therefore, they will respond and therefore take actions and create their own results. You cannot force another person to feel something and therefore act in a certain way, because they also live in the same reality that you do, where their thoughts are creating their own feelings. So we could go into this model of, obviously, if other people's behavior and the circumstance creates my thoughts and feelings, we will spend so much time and energy trying to manipulate everything around us, trying to create the feelings that we want to feel, when where we really have power is in our thinking and therefore creating our feelings. So we're literally throwing out all of our power that we have into these areas of life where we don't have power and then becoming a victim. Can you see how this is problematic, unproductive, frustrating, and you're going to feel tired, you're going to feel drained, you're going to feel like, what the F is wrong with me in my life? Why can't I create these? Why can't I just be happy? Okay, there's a second illusion here that I want to open you up to seeing about this model of leaving the job because you don't feel happy and how this is problematic. Not only do we create this or reinforce this idea that our circumstances and the people around us create our feelings, but we also create the illusion for ourselves or reinforce the illusion for ourselves by leaving our job to feel feelings A, B, and C, that the goal is to only feel feelings A, B, and C. So whether those feelings are happiness, fulfillment, joy, here's the thing. We are humans. And humans are designed to experience contrast, which means you do not want to feel happiness, joy, and fulfillment all of the time. Why is that? Why would that be? If these emotions are so quote-unquote good and the other emotions are bad, don't we just want to feel the good emotions all of the time? And this is why this model of good versus bad, right versus wrong doesn't serve us. Because there are no good and bad emotions. There are just emotions that we experience. Some of them we feel uncomfortable with experiencing because we've taught ourselves to resist them. And so the feeling of the emotion is uncertain to us. And so we feel like we might die if we experience it. So we resist it and we call that a bad emotion, an uncomfortable emotion. So there are emotions that we will experience that feel uncomfortable to us, but that's just because we're not familiar with how to feel them and process them. And when we try to manipulate our experience around us that we can't manipulate the circumstances and the people around us to try and only feel certain emotions all of the time, not only are we wasting so much energy on trying to control things that we have no control over, but we are trying to take the human experience and make it something so, I don't know what the word is here that I'm looking for, so non-contrasting, so not as expansive as it is. And this won't make us feel any better. And the reason why is this. Think about it. If you only ever experience happiness, and you never experience all of the other emotions, a contrasting emotion to happiness might be sadness. And what I mean by contrasting is that the energies feel very different. But the thing is, if we never experience sadness, and we only ever experience happiness, we no longer recognize happiness as happiness. It just is what is, because there's no other emotional experience to recognize that happiness feels this way. Because if that's all we ever feel, then that's all. It's kind of like a person that is colorblind. If they don't know that when they look at the sky that other people experience the color blue and they're seeing red, they will never know that they're colorblind. And maybe that's a bad example, but I think you understand what I'm saying here. If all we ever experience is happiness, we no longer know that it's happiness that we're experiencing because we never experience anything else other than it to know that this is happiness. It's like a fish in water, for instance. They breathe water. They don't recognize the fact that they need water to breathe until you take them out of the water and they start trying to breathe air and they're like, crap, I can't breathe this. I feel like I'm dying right now. Oh, that's because I need water to breathe. You know, this is how we start to realize. So the human experience is all about contrast. That's what I want you to get here. So the goal is not to only experience, if you're trying to leave your job because you're feeling XYZ and you want to feel ABC, problem number one, your job doesn't create feelings XYZ for you. You do. So your job also won't create feelings A, B, and C for you. You do. And the goal is not to always feel feelings A, B, and C. Okay? So by leaving your job to experience A, B, and C, what you are doing is providing yourself with evidence that the goal is to find an experience in your life in which you only experience A, B, and C, and that if you experience feelings X, Y, and Z, something is wrong. And something is wrong with the experience around you, the circumstance around you, because you think that the circumstance around you is creating your feelings, right? So you will constantly be trying to leave circumstances to change your feelings and trying to experience only certain feelings all of the time. I think you can begin to see now how this becomes problematic, because we're trying to only experience certain emotions, which is impossible. We are designed to experience all of our emotions, and we can keep resisting the emotions we think we don't want to experience, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep coming back, because we are designed to experience them. So the more you resist them, you're just going to be tired, my friend. You're just going to feel frustrated. And the more you keep buying into this belief that the circumstance creates your emotions, the more you are going to keep trying to manipulate and change your circumstances, the people around you, the job, the car, the house, all of that, to try and make you feel what it is that you want to feel. So what's the solution here? I know there's going to be some pushback here, so give me a minute, hear me out. Let me also give you the contrast and what I know the resistance point is going to be. So the solution here is to recognize, first of all, your job is not creating your feelings. So leaving your job is not going to give you the feelings that you want to feel. And what I want to say is this. If you're wanting to experience more happiness, then start creating more happiness. And I can already hear eyes rolling, see shoulders going up, hands going out, being like, what the F? What are you talking about? Like, no, do you not hear me? My boss throws books. My boss slams doors. I can't experience happiness here. Yes, my friend, you can. And there's a whole lot of depth that we could go into here, but I'm keeping this light and on the surface here so you can just really understand what it is that I mean here. You can create happiness in the circumstance of even if you have a boss that you want to feel is verbally abusive. Okay, because here is the thing. If your boss you feel is verbally abusive, if they say things to you and you feel sadness about it, you feel anger about it, remember, your boss's words are not what's creating that feeling. And here's how you can recognize that. All right, guys, I know you can't see me in this podcast, but my hair is like a dirty blonde. It's like a light brown, dark blonde color. So say I have a boss, and one day I go out of my office, into the hallway, my boss is standing there, and my boss looks at me and they say, Seth, I think your pink hair is just so annoying. I hate your pink hair. And then they just turn around and walk off. Okay, guess what? I don't have a single negative thought about my hair at this point in time. If anything, I'm thinking about my boss and being like, I might want to bring up to them to get their eyes checked because my hair isn't pink. So either they're seeing pink or this might be some kind of joke or I don't know what's going on, but I have not a single negative thought about my hair. You know why? Because I know my hair isn't pink. That's the key. I know my hair is not pink. So if my boss says, I hate your pink hair, I'm like, okay, I don't have pink hair. So something's going on with them right now. And do you see what I'm saying here? In that situation, you can recognize that the words that they're saying aren't actually about you because you don't have pink hair. So if your boss comes in and is shouting things that you would call verbally abusive, you can believe that what they are saying is verbally abusive. But guess what? It doesn't mean that you have to hurt. Because what hurts? If something hurts when your boss says something at you, it is because you have a belief about it that is true or that you believe is true about yourself. So what is hurting is not what your boss said. What is hurting is what you're thinking about it, what you're making it mean about you, what you believe about it to mean about you. If you don't believe it, then it means nothing. If I had a boss right now, and I work for myself, but say I was working in a company again, and my boss were to look at me and say, Seth, you are the laziest, most, uninspired employee that I have. I wouldn't, to be honest, I would not hurt about that. And this is because I've done a lot of work surrounding myself. So do you know what I know about myself? I know that I'm not lazy. I know that I'm very inspired. I'm very creative. I'm very motivated. So my boss could call me lazy. My boss could call me uninspired. And what I would recognize is that this is something going on with them. They're hurting right now, and that's why they're saying these words. But guess what I don't feel? I don't feel hurt. I don't feel sadness about me because I recognize that what they're saying isn't about me because those things are not true, because I know I'm not those things. And instead, I can have compassion for my boss because I recognize, really, they must just be hurting right now. And I can give them the space to hurt and recognize maybe they need to yell right now because they feel powerless in their life. Maybe they're making something going on in their life mean that they're powerless. And I can stand here and let them yell at me all day long and say all of these things that maybe someone else might take as hurtful, but I know these things aren't true about me, so I know it's really about them and what they're feeling right now. So this takes some work to get to, and that's a process. And we can talk about that another time of how to get there. But what I want you to start recognizing is that if in the situation of your job, say it's you think your boss is verbally abusive, you are allowed to believe that your boss is verbally abusive. No one is trying to tell you that you have to believe differently. But your boss's verbal abuse does not make you feel anything until you have a thought or belief about it. Own your power there, my friend. And why this is important is because you can choose to walk away from your boss saying anything about you, go to your office, close your door, have the understanding that what your boss just said has nothing to do with you. You can sit in front of your computer, know that you are good, know that you are loved, know that you are whole, and in that space, cultivate happiness. Because that's what happiness is. And that doesn't mean that we don't want to experience sadness, because if my boss says these things about me, I might experience sadness, but it's not because I believe them about me. It's because I recognize a pain in them that I wish, you know, that less humans were experiencing. And that's about my thoughts and beliefs about it, that I wish humans didn't experience these things in their life and have to show up in life being so emotionally reactive, thinking that something out there is hurting them and they're giving all of their power away. And so I feel sadness, but it's because I recognize this pain in this person. And I wish that there was some way I can help them. So I'm going to open myself up to allow them to express themselves and be the vessel that is willing to receive it without making it mean something about me. Stop the cycle of pain and offer for my boss the space in which they still receive love unconditionally, because I can look at them and still love them, even though they're saying these things at me that some people might make mean horrible things about them and then react to. So the goal here, my friends, is not to not experience emotions, but it is to recognize where the emotion comes from, how you can cultivate the emotions you want to experience. And why this is so important is because once we get to this space, once we clear out all of the what I call brain chatter drama, we can start to see our true desires in life, the things that we want to create, not because we're resisting something out there to try and feel what we want to feel, but because we have cleared all of the energy that we're using for that, and we're able to put it into getting into our own energy. Cultivating the happiness when we want to feel it, cultivating the joy when we want to experience it, cultivating the sadness when we want to experience it, and knowing why, and knowing how we have the power and the sovereignty in our life to do that. And then from that space, all of that energy can then go to recognizing the things that we want to grow and cultivate in our life. And so then I can look at my job and say, I'm unhappy right now. I am unhappy and I want to experience more happiness. I don't want to be happy all of the time, but I want to experience more happiness. So I'm going to cultivate happiness. I cultivate that happiness for myself. And then I start to notice something growing in me. This desire for being the most authentic, expansive version of me. And that calling takes me to be like, yes, I can be happy in this job. I can love all of the people around me in this job. And I can recognize that I can make everything that I want right now in my life. But I'm being called to go. and do something different. I want all of this that I have right now, and because I want it, and I can create everything that I want in this moment, I can also want more and follow that desire for more. Because I now have the energy and the power to see what I truly want. Maybe in your job, it has nothing to do with the job. There's nothing wrong with the job. There's nothing wrong with anyone at the job. But maybe you recognize there's a power within you that you're not owning by staying in that job. And you want to own that power. Maybe you want to become a coach. Maybe you want to start your own business. Maybe you want to be doing the job that your boss is doing. And you don't need to try and take your job from your boss. You don't need to make your boss wrong to want to do that job. Maybe you see something in what your boss is doing and you're like, that's beautiful. And I can do that too. I have that power too. And I want to cultivate that in my life. And so I'm going to do that for myself. But I recognize leaving isn't going to make me happier. But I want to grow this area of me and I want to see where it takes me. And then we're willing to do that. But my friends, if we're constantly reactive to this model that we're living in where the circumstance creates our feelings, then guess what we wait around for? We wait around for needing someone to be bad in our work. Something needs to be bad. Something needs to be wrong. Our boss needs to be wrong. Our boss needs to be bad before we allow ourselves to see that we want to go. And what I want to offer is you don't have to wait for that. And it might confuse people. But once you recognize the true model of that I create my feelings, from my thoughts and my beliefs, you can leave when you're happy. And other people might not understand that, and they might make it mean something hurtful about them. And you can love them, you can hold space for them, and you can still go and model for them. You don't have to be wrong, and nothing needs to be wrong for you to want to grow. Okay, I went a little bit deep there, my friends. I went deep, and I may have talked a little bit fast. I tried to speak a little bit slower. Another thing that my friend Lucy mentioned to me when she listened to the podcast is she's Greek, so English is not her native language. And she was like, I love everything you're saying, but I can tell you're very passionate because you speak very fast sometimes. And I live in Europe, even though I'm American, and there's only one country here in Europe that English is their mother tongue, and that's the UK. And I recognize that I have a lot of people that listen to my podcast that English is a second or a third language for them. And speaking slowly allows for them to grasp everything or hear everything that I'm saying, and it makes sense. So I tried to talk slower this time. I may have sped up, actually. I know I did a few times, but that's an intention of mine in this podcast. But my friends, this is what I want you to take from today. If you find yourself in a circumstance, a job, a relationship, a place that you're living, and you feel the desire to go, here's what you can do. A step that you can start taking. I can't teach you how to do all of this, but I can teach you a first step. I want you to recognize, do I feel like leaving because I want to feel something else? Do I feel an urgency to leave, to get away from this current emotional experience? If that is the case, before you decide to stay or go, you have work that you want to do. And that work is taking your power back in the current circumstance. Recognizing where you've given your power away to your circumstance creating your current emotional experience. Notice that. And you'll know to look because you feel rushed to leave, to hurry up and make a decision to leave, or hurry up and make a decision to willpower and muscle through it and resist the bad emotions, the quote-unquote bad emotions you're experiencing right now, and stay. And that might be like, yeah, I'm feeling angry, but, you know, I'm afraid to leave, so I'm just going to put up with my annoying boss and my annoying colleagues, and I'm just going to yell at them and teach them how to, you know, that we start wanting to be this, I'll show them. And I think we're going to talk in another episode about creating boundaries, and that's important in this situation. So you may feel the urge to either resist the current emotional experience and circumstance around you that you think is creating it, or you may feel the desire to hurry up and leave your current circumstance, which could also be your weight, your eating habits. If you feel the desire to hurry up and get away, you have work that you want to do. And I'm saying you want to do it intentionally. Not that you need to do, that you have to do. It's work you want to do because you want to take your power back. That is where the discomfort is actually coming from. And when I say take your power back, what I mean is own your ability and your responsibility in your current circumstance of how you are creating your current emotional experience and therefore your actions and your results. You can own all of that. Take your power back. Recognize the emotions you want to experience that you think leaving this current circumstance is going to create for you. And start trying to cultivate those emotions now. That's not something I can teach you in a podcast. But you can start recognizing that my thoughts are what create my emotional experience. So if I'm wanting to experience happiness, what thoughts do I have that create happiness for me? Start recognizing those thoughts. That's a step you can take right now. And notice that you can have those thoughts at any point in time. You might not want to, but you can. And that's the point of this. So one step that you can take now is if you feel in a hurry to make a decision of whether or not to stay or go in a circumstance, whether that is a relationship, a job, your current weight, your current lifestyle habits, if you feel rushed to leave, stop. Don't make that decision yet. Take your power back first. Recognize that the desire to rush is because you have given your power of your emotional experience away to your circumstance. Own that. Recognize that. Be in that without guilt or shame. Because, and what I mean by guilt or shame is feeling like there's something wrong with you because of it, or that you have to be wrong in order to recognize that. You don't have to say that or think that about you. Right now, we're owning our power. And that doesn't mean that the desire to change will go away, but you will start to recognize the true desire underneath all of that. And then, once we learn how to cultivate all of the emotions we want to experience in our current circumstance, we can still choose to go, and we can do it with peace, patience, and love. Not in a hurry, not out of resistance, not out of someone needing to be bad or wrong. We can do it with patience, love, acceptance, and peace. So my friends, I'm going to leave it there today. If you're wondering, should you stay or go? Ask yourself, do you feel in a hurry? If so, the answer is stay and take your power back. I love you all. I will talk to you again soon. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Connect Your Health to Life Coaching Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the content of this podcast today. If you did, please subscribe or follow this podcast to receive newest episodes every week as I bring them to you here on the Connect Your Health to Life Coaching channel. If you would like more information about me and the work that I do with my clients one-on-one, please visit www.slch.ch for more. Again, that is www.slch.ch. You can also find me on Instagram at SethLusk_coaching. Again, that's SethLusk_coaching. Or on Facebook, in my Facebook community that's called Health Connection Corner. One last time, that Facebook group is called Health Connection Corner. It's free to join. You just have to answer 3 membership questions to become a part of the community there, and we would love to have you. I want to thank you again for listening. I look forward to our next time together. Have a wonderful and health-filled day. Ciao.